River Bank, we believe you can heal, grow, and fulfill God's plans for your life as the power of God touches you through this prophetic teaching by Pastor Dominion. Get excited and hop into it.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. See, I have God's Spirit.
I
am a doer of the word. One more time, I have God's Spirit. And I'm a doer of the word. This morning we're looking at healed by knowledge. Say healed by knowledge. We started a series that is titled Healing Angry Hearts. And today we're saying you can be healed by knowledge. Now, the few thoughts I want us to consider. And I believe that these thoughts would build in you what you need for healing. Some of them would be a re-emphasis of the things we have learned already. Praise the name of the Lord. And so let's just jump right into it because we're out of time. The first thing is this: anger is not a sin. Say, anger is not a sin. Open your Bibles, Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. Ephesians and chapter 4 and verse 26 and verse 27. Kabaraton de penicatalis. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 and 27. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Read together, everybody want to go. Everybody, are you there now? Read together, want to go. We are meant to read together. Are you there now? He says, in the NKJV, he says, be angry, but do not sin. Tell your neighbor, say, be angry, but do not sin. Tell another neighbor, say,
be angry,
but do not sin. You're not telling your neighbor, I'm looking at you. Tell your neighbor, say,
be angry,
but do not sin. Anger is not a sin. Sometimes anger is just a response to what has happened. It's a natural response sometimes. Because sometimes you can beat yourself up for being angry and feel like you have done something wrong because you were angry. And that beating yourself up just puts you in a position where your spiritual, your life is just cold and everything is just down. And then you can't function as you should. But the Bible says, be angry. He says, and do not sin. I says, don't let the sun go down your anger. Look at verse 31. Because he says, be angry doesn't mean you should just go uncontrolled in anger. Are you in verse 31? Read verse 31, want to go. Jaden. Pick that Bible. Read again, want to go. He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words. Tell your neighbor, get rid of harsh words. Listen, no matter how trendy it is in your day and time, the Bible has an instruction. Is it fine to stop it? No matter how trendy it has become in your day, the Bible has a perspective about it. It says to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words. Amen.
Give me some volume, please.
Praise the name of the Lord. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of what?
Bitterness.
He says, and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as, he says, evil behavior. He said, instead, put on kindness, soft-heartedness. Praise the name of the Lord. So even though anger is not a sin, he says you should put it away. So first point we're looking at this morning is that anger is not a sin. The second one is this. Are you ready? God calls uncontrolled anger sin. God looks at uncontrolled anger and calls it a sin. Anger that goes without caution. Anger that goes without boundary. Anger that goes without limits. He calls it a sin. The same Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26. Are you there? It says, be angry and do not sin. Listen, I've told you that anger is one of the strongest emotions. It's so terrible, it has impact on your health. Do you understand that? On your physical body. It affects your emotions, it affects your health, it affects your spirit. It's terrible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's terrible. It affects your emotions, your mood. It affects your physical body. And then it affects your spirit. God calls uncontrolled anger a sin. Anger is not a strength, it's a weakness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. I'll read verse 6 into verse 7. Please open your Bible as quickly as possible. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 into verse 7. Are you there? It says, so the Lord said to Cain, read together, everybody want to go. He says, why are you so angry? Tap your neighbor gently and say, why are you angry? Tap another neighbor and say, why are you angry? Imagine God comes to ask you that question. People are seeking God, seeking an encounter with God, seeking a word from God. And God comes to you, and the question he asks you is, why are you so angry? Listen, listen. Remember I told you that the fact that you have moved on does not mean that you've healed, isn't it? Meaning, anger can be swept under the carpet. You would move normally as if you are not angry, but you are angry. You go about your activities, but you are angry. Why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? How do you know you are still angry? When you remember the person. And you feel a negative emotion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you remember the person and you don't feel the same way you used to feel before they hurt you, you are still angry. I'm helping you demystify anger. Because if you think it's just an emotion and you are not feeling that rage anymore, you think you are not angry. But if you cannot treat the person the way you treated them before they hurt you, you are still angry. You haven't forgiven. Because to forgive means to let go as if it never happened. It's a clean slate. And God doesn't ask, what did they do that makes you so angry? He doesn't categorize hurt and offense to know which you should forgive instantly and which you should forgive at your convenience. Praise the name of the Lord. Why are you angry? Was that a question? Did God not know? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Was God saying, I don't know why you're angry. Could you tell me?
It's because he wanted to tell him something. And here is it in verse 7. Are you there? Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. When God begins to tell you what's happening in the realm of the spirits, you know it's serious. Listen, anger is such a strong emotion, God always intervenes. Always. Listen. I'm telling you what happens in your life. That you are feeling, you know, the Spirit of God is nudging you to let go, but you are holding back. This is what's happening. God is saying, why are you angry? Saying, Jaden, why are you angry? Or any other person, why are you angry? The Spirit of God nudging your heart. I know you think he's talking about Cain, but he's talking about you. And then he wants to tell you something. I know you want to start explaining all that they did. No. Verse 7, are you there? Read verse 7 together. Everybody want to go? He calls anger sin. He says it's a knocking on your door. When you feel that nudge of the Spirit, when you hear God's word like this, saying, let go. And you are saying, no, but the hurt is great. He says, sin is knocking at your door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. It seeks to take a hold of you, but you must rule over it. And clearly from this conversation, you have to let go of the offense if you are going to rule over it. So God calls uncontrolled anger sin. God calls uncontrolled anger sin. What is uncontrolled anger? And that's the next point I'm looking at. Uncontrolled anger is prolonged anger. Say prolonged anger. All right, write that down. Uncontrolled anger is not anger that takes a hold of you and moves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm teaching you on healed by knowledge. If you are going to come out of this anger, you have to know. Many times we assume that because I don't feel rage, the anger is not uncontrolled. But we look at it in God's word. Uncontrolled anger is prolonged anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. He says, be angry but sin not. He says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I know we've looked at it multiple times, but open it. Ephesians 4, 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? Read together, everybody want to go? He said, be angry but sin not. And then he says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let your anger be prolonged. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't let it be forever. Don't let it last so long. Not even a day. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying the hurt is not great. I'm saying God's instruction is greater. You don't know what they did to me. It's not something you can forgive in a day. He says, be angry, but sin not. They wronged you, they sinned against you, they sinned against God by what they did to you. But you are in sin by being prolonged in anger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice. Say in malice. He says, be children. Because their malice does not last forever. Their beef is not that serious. Why are you fighting against God? Why are you fighting against His word? Why have you insisted to hold back when He says forgive? I hear what I'm saying? Why have you insisted? Don't you realize that you're not standing on the same side with God anymore? He says, leave room for wrath. He says, vengeance is mine. Leave it to me. Your responsibility is not to execute vengeance. Are you hear what I'm saying? Why are you fighting against God? Let go. Is it difficult? Oh my goodness, it is. But the struggle you have in your heart is you fighting God. He is telling you from His word, let go. But you are justifying why you must hold back. He said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And He reveals why. He says, no, give place to the devil. I'm teaching you healed by knowledge. The reason why you are resisting is because the devil is there whispering. We said last week that anger has a logic. It has a perspective. And the devil is no fool. He's going to explain to you reasons why you must hold back. You must make the tough call today to not give room to the devil in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must make the tough call this morning to not give room to the devil. Why are you fighting God? Why? Uncontrolled anger is prolonged anger. Any anger that has lasted more than a day is prolonged. Listen, with due respect to the depth of the pain, would you get what I'm saying? But He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do you know why it's important? Because it gives access to the devil into your life. The devil is not going to say, I understand. This one, the way they offended you, you can't overcome in it. You can't forgive in a day. So I will not gain access into your life now. He's not going to do that. He's a master of strategy. Influence one person to offend you and influence you not to forgive. And watch yourself self-destruct. Both of you self-destruct. He doesn't need to assist you anymore. He doesn't need to assist you. He just allows you. Listen, He has legal access into your life. And listen, sometimes it's not even in mystical things. It's in simple things like relationships that break. Do you get what I'm saying? You are angry, you just say, get out! Get out! I don't care about you. Are you the only person? Destiny molding relationship. You are broken because you are angry. Significant destiny, you know, something that God has said, I want both of you to work together to execute my counsel. Your prayer point, He has fashioned this person to be the opportunity, your link to where you are going to, for anger. Hey! So, now you can go ahead and be praying. God, open doors in business for the person He has put beside you to work with you, to sometimes give you counsel you are fought with. You can keep praying and fasting. This is the door. No, give place to the devil in your life. Listen. I know we think that people are dispensable and you can do without them. But remember, you are not the one that creates the opportunities in your life. Some of those opportunities, listen, God puts on your own path with this person. Acts chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 2, verse 1, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them. Don't say I'm talented. Don't say I'm anointed. I want to pick Bartholomew. No! He said Barnabas. For the work that I've called them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are some Barnabas in your life. You can't just break. Later on, if you read the book, Paul and Barnabas had issues. Sentimental issues. Because Barnabas' relative wanted to come with them. And Paul said, no, he hasn't been serious. Barnabas got offended. He got offended. And so by Acts chapter 16, you hear Paul and Silas prayed and gave thanks, and the prison doors opened. Why? Barnabas had gone because of offense. Because of offense. So, yeah, there are 7 or 8 billion people in the world, but he didn't call you and 8 billion people to work together. It's not true that if God wants you to work, it will work. It's not true. I hear what I'm. If it is true, he will need to teach you on this. He will not need to. Sometimes it's authority figures. Authority figures. The way he spoke to me, the way she spoke to me, I don't like it. I don't like it. And then you walk away. And then you react in anger. Someone that God has put over you to guide you, to protect you, to preserve you. Now, years down the line, you have regrets. And you don't even know where the mistake was made. You can't trace your steps back. Listen to me. Mentorship is God's idea. That he put someone over you to guide you and instruct you. And the Bible taught, and that's one of the questions that they asked in the Sunday school, that the chastisement of our fathers makes us better. But when he is chastising us, it is not sweet. So when authority figures are dealing with you, it won't be sweet. I hear what I'm saying? It won't be sweet. You would like it, but it forges you into the person that God wants. So will he hurt you? Yeah, of course. You think authority figures will talk to you in ways that you like? Nah, that's a friend. That's not an authority figure. The Bible is clear that what fathers will do is they will chastise you. And it will hurt you. Even Jesus, the Christ of God, the Bible said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Not through the things he flexed, though. He suffered. And you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you suffer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Give no room to offense. And how do you know you are giving room to offense? Please listen. If the anger exceeds one day, it's too much. Too much. Listen. We are just not very sensitive. We're just not as prayerful. Have you seen quarrel that starts on his own? That we don't. If we ask, how did you people start fighting? You don't know. I thought you guys just walked into the room 5 minutes ago. Why are you shouting? What happened? Okay, what's the genesis? You can't even remember, but you are fighting. Ah, oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes it's spiritual. It's absolutely spiritual. It has nothing to do with nothing. Let me tell you something that we observed at a point in our marriage. That at a point, once is Friday, we'll quarrel. Once it's Monday like this, we'll just settle. But you see, the next Friday, we'll quarrel again. And then Monday will be the sweetest couple in town. But you see, the next Friday, we'll quarrel again. What do you think was happening? We were tense that service was coming and we didn't know what to do. It's spiritual. Like, everybody will just be stubborn. You must apologize. No, it's you that must apologize. On Monday, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, I'm the one that is sorry. No. I should take responsibility. But next Friday, in fact, on Monday, you say, going forward, I would always take responsibility. But next Friday, I thought you said, did you also say you'll be taking responsibility? Then Monday, I've realized my wrong. I've turned from my wicked ways. What do you think is happening? Sometimes, and while it's funny, it's the story of many people. Now, for you, you might not know when something God wants to do something in you or through you that the devil will just make offense to come. There are times when, and I don't know if some of you have experienced this, where you know that I will have issues with this person. That today will not end until me and this person fights. Not because you guys can even be gisting, you know, and laughing, but you know that today, like this, me and this person, something will happen. And something will happen. And you're like, how? How? It's spiritual. The devil has a place. The devil has a place. There's something he wants to steal. There's something he wants to kill. There's something he wants to destroy. Listen, so here's the question. How many of the opportunities that God has brought your way has the devil destroyed? Has the devil stolen? Because you've chosen, I'll stand on my right. You are losing. Are you hear what I'm saying? Something you've been praying and fasting, they've prophesied over your life. Now it's the time for it to come. You will just be offended. And in that place of offense, the devil has room. Sometimes, if you are not offended, you would have just sensed your spirit, oh, let me pray. And as you pray, that's the final stroke that will break the camel's back, but you did not pray. Are you hear what I'm saying? Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place. The next one I already talked about is anger has a flawed logic. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. We're going to read this one together. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. Have you opened your Bibles? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Have you opened your Bibles? Are you there? Read together, everybody want to go. I don't like this. Are you there now? Read together, everybody want to go. Woo! He says, do not be hasty in spirit to be angry. Not a quick vex. Are you hear what I'm saying? Not a quick vex. Calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. I didn't hear your voice. Say, calm down. Thank you. Calm down. Small thing, you're angry. Small thing, you're boiling. You are fusing. No, go calm down. He says, for anger rests. It finds solace in the bosom of fools. Behold his resting place, a fool. This is why you don't give anger, you don't give it time in your life. Because anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Who is a fool? He has a flawed logic, a flawed perspective. That's a fool. The way he evaluates, his sense of value is wrong, his fault is broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His sense of priority, of value is broken. He says that's where anger goes to rest. It stays there. It feels at home. Please ask your neighbor, does anger feel at home in you? Let's make it more direct. Have you been angry for a while? I'm not hearing you. Have you been angry for a while? I'm hearing yes. So do what? Repent. Ask another person, have you been angry for a while? Is there someone you've not forgiven? Anger has a flawed logic. He said, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. He just chills there. Woo. So soft. A fool's bosom. Growing up, I used to be quick-tempered. And I didn't know it was Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. But it was a mantra in my family house. Anger lies in the bosom of a fool. I did not insult you. You know how painful it is to call a child a fool? Big fool. But I'm quoting scripture. And so it became a mantra in my family house for anybody that got angry. We didn't need to say the full thing again. We just said anger lies. You can't report to my parents because even my parents will say it. It pinned you into repentance. Anger. So anger has a flawed logic. A fool is someone that doesn't have the correct discernment. Don't be a fool, please. I know you hate being called a fool. And you think the person that offended you is a big fool. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says, when anger spends a while in you, we know who you are. You identify as a... So it makes you to say things that you would not have said if you were sober. It makes you to make decisions you would not have made even though you were sober. It makes you to sacrifice things you wouldn't have sacrificed if you were sober. That's who a fool is. You can know that this is the only thing you've been looking for the past 5 years, but sacrifice it because of how you feel. Say, I don't care. But you do. You're just angry. And your logic is flawed. Don't give place to anger. It's not your friend. It's not a strength. It's a weakness. And you hear what I'm saying? And it's so terrible because a man cannot pacify you when you are angry. He says, stop. Relax. You will not hear. God the Almighty cannot pacify you. He came to pacify Cain. He said, why are you angry? Calm down. If you continue like this, sin will take over. He didn't listen. And he just made a fool of himself. And here's what's worse. The next point. Uncontrolled anger gives room for the devil. Oh, I don't want the devil around my life. Then you open the door in anger. And the devil is like, RSVP. Yeah. In case you don't know any other way to give the devil access into your life, you don't know if singing secular songs will get the devil into your heart. You don't know if anything will get the devil into your heart. This one is clear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Do not be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are too angry, nor give place to the devil. Thus, you've cleared space for the devil to be in your life. Legal access. It's called lawful captive, meaning you are a captive under his influence legally. Do you get what I'm saying? Legally. Meaning whatever, listen, and this is spiritual intelligence, whatever he causes, prayer cannot solve it. It's only forgiveness that can solve it. It's called lawful captive, meaning you signed an agreement to be his captive. If he causes anything, you can't pray it out. You can't fast it out. We can't lay hands and stop it. You give him that access. And you can't tell him to pack his load because you didn't tell him to come. You just remained angry. Do you get what I'm saying? You just remained angry. So maybe some of the things you are praying for, you've not gotten answers. Some of the things you're expecting, you've not gotten answers because you gave him access. You remained angry. And I said, remaining angry doesn't mean rage. Doesn't mean you're boiling every moment. It means you cannot return to that person and be friends again. You can't talk to the person. You can't feel the same way about the person again. It means you've not forgiven. Because you've remained without forgiveness, the devil has access. The only way to get it out is by forgiveness. I don't know who I was telling sometime last week. I said if a sickness is caused by a spirit, you don't heal that person of the sickness. You expel the demon. When you expel the demon, the sickness will go. If, in the same vein, if anger and unforgiveness gives the devil access, go and pray. You might not get any, you are likely to not get any result because he's still there. He came. Listen, God advised you that you should not be stay angry because the devil can come into your life. You have to forgive for your own benefit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For your own benefit. And here's the last point. Anger is most times a reflection of self-dissatisfaction. You are not happy. You're not happy with yourself. And so you're just looking for reasons to pin it on someone else. Yeah, they said the wrong things. They did the wrong things. On your own, you are not happy. Let me show you in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 to verse 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Cain would have said, do you know what Abel did? But verse 7, God said, if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lies at your door and desires you, but you must rule over it. It's about you. You didn't do well. You messed up. Hey, but the other person messed up too. Who cares about the other person? You messed up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? The Bible says, because his works were evil. Listen, if you want to pin it on someone, there's a way you can spin the story and pin it on the person. You don't even need to spin the story. The person might have legitimately offended you. But uncontrolled anger is on you. It has nothing to do with the person. Now that's just you. It reveals more about you than the person. I'll give you an example. A man lived all his life, did his best, lived a very holy life, didn't do anything wrong. And one day, the people he had helped for all his life called him out and lied against him and took him to the court. But the judge knew that these people are not exactly saying the truth, because he knew the man also, and thought to give them one more chance to vindicate themselves. Maybe if they look at the man's face, they would have mercy and say, would you let him go? They say, no, he must die. And so they're going to kill the man. They flogged him. They spat on him and hanged him on the cross. He had every right to be angry because he did nothing. Do you get what I'm saying? He did nothing. If it is based on rights, he did nothing. But many times, anger is a reflection of your own self-dissatisfaction. Did they offend you illegally? Yes, they offended you. But it's a reflection of your own self-dissatisfaction. What did the man say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Listen, here's another way to put it. Hurting people will hurt somebody else. The reason why you are keeping the burden of anger is because you are not tapping yourself. I know you don't want to agree, but it's the truth. It's a reflection of self-dissatisfaction. So it's just exposing you. anger is a work of the flesh. It just shows that there's no spirituality in your life. It shows you've not been praying. It shows you've not been reading your Bible. Because statistically speaking, those that read their Bible frequently have reduced anger issues, reduced bitterness. It reveals you. You hear what I'm saying? It reveals you. Have you been praying? Yes. Have you read your Bible? Yes. Have you forgiven? No. It's exposing you. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's exposing you. That's what it's doing. Anger is a work of the flesh. It means the spirit is not strong on your inside. The hold of the spirit in your life is not strong. You are not praying. You're not reading your Bibles. You're not listening to sermons. Your spirit is weak. The flesh is strong. It exposes you. It just shows that there's no spirituality or low spirituality. Because the work of the flesh, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, is anger, outburst of rage. But the fruit of the spirit is love, is joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's self-control. It exposes you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't tell me that they offended you. They offended the Christ and he said, forgive them. Guess what he did before he went to the cross? He spent some time praying. What do you think the strength was for? To climb the cross or to carry the cross? It was to forgive. It wasn't physical strength. When he prayed, and the Bible says the angels of God strengthened him, what do you think the strength was for? Energy to carry cross? No, he couldn't even carry the cross where they were going to hang him there. He couldn't. But he had the energy to forgive. It reveals you. It reveals you. So the man prayed, and after 1 hour, he went back to pray. Because that energy was not enough to forgive what he was going to face at the cross. Pray! Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pray. Spend some time praying, especially in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you build up yourself. You build strength. You rise like an edifice. You rise with strength, spiritual energy to walk in the Spirit, to walk and demonstrate the virtues of the Spirit of God, to behave like a believer, to behave Christ-like, like a Christian. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are not praying. You are busy praying that God should take away the mishaps in your life. But they were caused when you opened the door to the devil. This is why you are leading a life of frustration. Go and forgive. Go and pray and build strength. And the Bible says you will not walk in the flesh. Walk in the spirit. It says that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not fulfill the lust. It's alluring. That's what's happening. He said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's that luring not to let go. Not to lose the grip of that forgiveness. Not to hold firm to that offense. He says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. In case you think it's difficult to forgive, it's not. It's not. The reason is this. Wrath, unforgiveness, malice is the work of the flesh. It is it's a demonstration of the sin nature. It's what happened to the fallen man. Are you hear what I'm saying? The Bible says when the devil lies, he speaks his native language. Now their village tongue be that. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a trait that they have in the devil's village. One of it is anger. I hear what I'm saying? When you go to that village, there are traits that those people have. It's anger. Now, he said he has translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. In this our kingdom, we have peace. We forgive. We don't let the sun go down while we're still angry. And we give no place to the devil in our lives. Glory to God. So what God did is this. He knew that on your own, you had a propensity to be angry. There's something about you that wanted to keep malice, that will not let go, that will think about the offense again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And you can't help yourself. And so what did he do? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Very simple. Never forget this verse. Ezekiel 36, 26. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. We're going to read this one loud. Please, everybody, open your Bibles and hold your Bibles. We're discussing how I can control myself. I know you've tried to control yourself. You've tried to let go. You thought it was impossible. I want to teach you how it works now. He said, anger is the nature of the devil. Ezekiel 36, 26. There is a spirit in man. There's the heart that a man has that does not respond to God. It controls the sinner. This is how God handled it. Ezekiel 36, 26. Are you there? Now read together, everybody. Want to go? I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you what? He says, I will give you a new heart. See, a new heart. Meaning new desires. That heart that is tender. He said, be kind-hearted towards people. Tender-hearted towards people. Not that stony heart. You know what we call strong head? Yeah, that's what he's describing. He says, I will put a new heart within you and put a new spirit within you. Then what did he say next? What did he say next? Want to go? He says, I will take the heart of flesh or the heart of stone out of your flesh. That heart that no matter how much word of God it hears, it will not respond. Forgive, it will not forgive. It will give room to the devil you don't want to hear. That stony heart that does not respond to God's word. He says, I will take it out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. Soft, tender heart. How can you go to bed angry? How dare you give the devil such room? You sleep and he has oppression in your life? No, he shouldn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't go to bed angry. And I'm not saying with rage and feeling the emotion. That's just half of the equation. The other half of the equation about anger is that you've not forgiven. He says, I will put my spirit within you and curse you. Oh, did you hear me? He says, I will put my spirit within you and I will sponsor you in the direction of my laws. I will put my spirit within you and curse you to walk according to my statutes. You will keep my judgments, my perspective, and do them. He says, I will do that to you. He didn't say, you go ahead. And so when Christ died, what he did was this. He died to take away that stony heart. Because the soul that sinned it shall die. And so he died in your place. And then because of that, God has put the spirit within you. I hear what I'm saying? He has given you a spirit that can forgive. When they tell you that God doesn't instruct you to do things that he knows you cannot do, this is what they mean. That he has given you a spirit that is soft. I hear what I'm saying? The same spirit. The Bible says, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will vitalize your mortal body. Glory to God. It makes you act differently. It vitalizes your mortal body. It impacts you differently. But even though he has given you that spirit that would make you do what he wants you to do, the Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject. Are you hear what I'm saying? So, listen, because God has put the spirit within you, does not mean that you lose control. No. The spirit of God can be inside you. If you choose to subject it, you will subject it. He says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. So that spirit that can forgive It's subject to your opinion. It's subject to what you want to do. If you don't want to forgive, he will beg you. If you say you don't want to hear, he will keep quiet and make room for the devil. It's either you allow his influence. Just think about an aura, a perfume, a fragrance. It's either you allow him fill you, or you subject it, you quench it. This is Ephesians chapter 4 that we've been reading. We read verse 26 and verse 27. By the time we get to verse 30, he says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench him. You can quench him. And then the devil has an expression. I'm teaching you unhealed by knowledge. I'm revealing to you what the spiritual realm looks like, how things work by God's word. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God that is at work in you. Say, God is at work in me. Both to will and to do of his good pleasures. One more time. Say, God is at work in me. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Meaning, the reason why I'll be able to forgive like God will have me forgive is because God is at work in me. He has already put his spirit within me. And that spirit gives me the desire and enables me. If I choose, I want to. Because remember that the spirit is subject to the prophet, isn't it? So if I choose that I want to, he would enable me. He starts with the desire. He said, for it is God that is at work in you, both to will and to do. Do you get what I'm saying? So he starts with the desire. Maybe some of you is nudging you as you're hearing the same one. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Now that's the will. He's giving you the will. But you can either choose to or not choose to. Whatever decision you make, he has to submit. By doing that, you quench the spirit or give him expression. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you been blessed this morning? Please rise up on your feet.